14. Let our little ones be dismissed for children's Bible time, second grade on down. John chapter 14. Sunday nights we've been doing doctrine. Doctrine of God, doctrine of Christ. Tonight we're going to look at the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Strong doctrine. You need to be grounded in the Word of God. I am not the hope for the future. I am confident where I stand in God's Word. I'm confident of that. But I am not the future. You are the future. If you do not have that confidence in God's Word, you need to get it. It's important for you to be grounded doctrinally, not on the word of the preacher, but on the Word of God. You're able to go to chapter and verse. We're going to do that tonight with the Holy Spirit. We talked about, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts this evening. We'd be challenged. And we would be grounded in your word. Father, I pray for that person, either here in the room or listening by way of technology, either tonight or at a later date, that does not know you as their Savior. They have not embraced salvation. They have never received the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ. I pray that they would not just fall under conviction, but that they would bow the knee while there is yet time, while it is yet the day, and receive that precious, precious gift. We will be eternally grateful for your salvation. We'll praise you throughout all eternity. In the name of the only begotten Son of the living God, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So most people understand God. When I put my hand up here and I said, Jesus Christ and his attributes, omniscience, omnipresence, lines up with the Father. His humanity is certainly part of who he is, but his omniscience, his omnipresence, all lines up with those attributes, they line up with God the Father. So people understand the Trinity the most, are most familiar with, Christians are most familiar with Jesus Christ. We understand that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, that he lived a sinless life, that he went to, that he did miracles, that he led people to himself, that he went to Calvary's cross, being an innocent, the innocent, sinless Lamb of God, and paid that price for our sin. He laid in that grave. 3 days later, he rose again. Victorious over death, ascended up into heaven, applied his blood at the mercy seat, and now we have access to the Father through Jesus Christ. Well, people are familiar with Jesus Christ. We understand Jesus Christ is coming again. We understand that. But when it comes to God, that's a little bit more elusive. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, people are absolutely ignorant. We know God, and we know Jesus Christ, but then we ignore the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. We're going to talk about that this evening. We have a limited understanding. We have a limited understanding of God, but that limited understanding of that lack of understanding of the Holy Spirit is criminal. We should know the Holy Spirit. We should know what he does. We should embrace that power. I had a missionary several years ago, a personal friend, and he said to me, he was describing to me why he used critical text Bibles in the country. It was an English-speaking country, but why he used those in his country. And I said, why do you use that? He said, because in the translation, they call the Holy Spirit a spook, the Holy Spook. I said, you mean like the Holy Ghost? We are familiar with the term, so when you say Holy Ghost, you don't think of Casper the Friendly Ghost flying around. You think of the third part of the Trinity. You don't need to change your wording to get at something that is easier or more palatable for people. You need to become familiar with the text and what God wants you to understand. John chapter 4, Jesus is talking that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so we're going to look at the truth tonight and I encourage you to embrace the Holy Spirit. Well, a lot of craziness. I sat in a conference several years ago, the Baptist conference, nationally known Baptist speaker, and he said in his message that he communes with the dead. Now, you know, that is not what the Holy Spirit's going to lead you to do. Now, that's something that Saul tried to do in the Old Testament. But that's not something you should be doing. I don't want you to go to the cemetery this evening and try to call up spirits. Now, that's not what the doctrine of the Holy Spirit is all about. It's just not. So let's consider who the Holy Spirit is and who he is not. And it is a who, not a what or an it. We're in John chapter 14. I draw your attention to let's start at verse 15 because that's the paragraph. And we'll go to verse 26. John chapter 14, verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Notice that's a capital C in your Bible. That he may abide with you forever. It doesn't say that it may abide with you. And that's an important, it's not a nuance, it's not a tripping over words. It's absolutely vital that you understand God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and it is he. Even the Spirit of truth, verse 17, whom the world cannot receive, but you should, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, let a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, different Judas, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him. Notice, we, the Trinity, we will come unto him and make our abode, you got Trinity again, with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the world which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Holy Spirit is the third part of the Trinity. But the abuses of the Holy Spirit is nothing that is new to us. I'll go back 100 years ago to 1856. This is 1856 to 1928. A man named R.A. Torrey said this of the Holy Spirit: a frequent source of error and fanaticism about the work of the Holy Spirit is the attempt to study and understand his work without, first of all, coming to know him as a person. Let me say that again. Preacher, why is that important? Because there are people writing books and producing videos that you can find on the internet that are addressing who the Holy Spirit is, but they do not know him because they've never received Jesus Christ. Now, I know that is hard for you to imagine if you've received Christ. But I cannot tell you the number of times I've talked to somebody who is very skilled in the Bible languages. They're super intelligent. They can tell me lots of things about the Bible, but it is pretty clear after talking with them for just a few minutes that they have never received the gift of God, which is eternal life. And just because you know about the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that you are qualified to write about him. So let me read R.A. Torrey's quote again. A frequent source of error and fanaticism about the work of the Holy Spirit is the attempt and to study and to understand His work without first of all coming to know Him as Savior. So bow your heads and close your eyes. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Where are you this evening when it comes to your relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you only know about Him? Have you never received Him as your Savior? And you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, I'm a good person. I've been baptized. I go to church. I try to keep the Ten Commandments, but I can never remember a time in my life that I became guilty before God, recognized that I was a sinner, and received the gift of God, which is eternal life, Jesus Christ. Slip your hand up and hold it up. Let me pray for you. It's okay. Father, I thank You for the opportunity to preach this evening and to stir lives. And I pray that not a single person in the room this evening would try to understand the Holy Spirit without receiving the gift of God, which is eternal life, and the indwelling of the Spirit that will teach them and help them to understand. And I pray for that person who does not know You as their Savior, that tonight they will receive that precious, precious gift that You paid for with Your blood on Calvary's cross. And we'll thank You for that in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. John chapter 14, verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter that He may abide with you. Look at verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth not Him, neither knoweth Him, does not know Him as their Savior. Look at verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things. And again, that goes back to our Ari-Tori statement. People are trying to write and understand the Holy Spirit without salvation. It will never work. It just will never work. Look at chapter 16. Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Verse 8, and when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness as of judgment. And that's just a really neat work of the Holy Spirit. You're sitting in church, and all of a sudden the preacher says something, and you are absolutely convicted. You know Christ is your Savior. Part of the Holy Spirit's job is to convict you, to nudge you, to absolutely make you uncomfortable, to feel like you're the only person in the room, and the preacher is preaching directly at you. Several years ago, I've mentioned this. I was talking about having booze in your sock drawer. I don't know why I said booze in your sock drawer, but there was somebody in the room that had booze in their sock drawer, and on the way out of church, they said, "She knows." And I said, "She knows what?" She found it. She found what? I have no idea what you're talking about. About 6 weeks ago, I mentioned something on a Sunday night service. I'll not mention what it was. There was a fella in the room, and he was unsaved, and he said to me, we met for coffee later on that week, and I was trying to lead him to Christ. And he said, "You called me out Sunday night in church." I said, "I called you out." He said, "Yeah, you said this, this, and this." And I said, "And number one, I don't know that about you. I don't know that about you, but God does. The impossibility of being the preacher, standing behind this desk, and knowing what is going on in everyone's lives. I can't possibly do that." But the Holy Spirit knows exactly what's going on in your life. He knows where to shine the light in the dark recesses of your heart. And two occasions, very, very distinct. I wish I could tell you exactly what I said, but I don't want to identify or make somebody else feel more uncomfortable by saying it. But he absolutely was convicted by the Holy Spirit. Verse 13. We're in chapter 16. Look at verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. If you are a Sunday school teacher, you absolutely ought to be bathing your lesson preparation in prayer. You start out with a Bible and an outline and a dictionary, you're probably going to mess things up. You get down on your knees and say, God, help me. In a few moments, I'm going to handle your word, and I need the Holy Spirit to help and guide me and teach me and instruct me, because there's a lot of false doctrine out there, and you do not want to get caught up in it. His person is revealed in Isaiah chapter 63, verse 10. I'm going to turn there, if you want to turn with me. Isaiah chapter 63. We're going to go kind of quickly here. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 10. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. Holy Spirit's not a New Testament, new division, a new discovery. He was active in the Old Testament. Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. We'll come to that one in just a few moments. Now, the work of the Holy Spirit. I just read those three texts so that you can see the tracing of the Holy Spirit throughout Scripture. And they are just three of many, many Scriptures that deal with the Holy Spirit. And he is called God. Let's look at Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Verse 3. Acts, the fifth chapter, the third verse. Acts chapter 5, verse 3. But Peter and Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie unto the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? After that it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came upon them that heard these things. The Holy Spirit is called God. Is called God. Grand Rapids, Michigan. Veterinarian, female, walking down the street and saw a dog. The dog was attached to a leash. The leash was attached to the side mirror of a car that was parked, a pickup truck that was parked curbside. And she saw the dog and she said, as a veterinarian, that dog is in need of help, and I'm a veterinarian and I am going to take care of that dog. So she took the leash off of the side mirror and she took the dog home and she nursed the dog back to health. The dog belonged to a homeless person. And the homeless person was in getting food, and they didn't allow the dog in a food establishment. And he came out, his dog was gone, and they said, did you see my dog? And they found that, they pulled up video footage, and they saw that this lady, this veterinarian, had taken the dog. So the police go to the house, and they say to the lady, you have stolen this man's dog. And the lady said, the dog was in need of services, and obviously I'm the person to provide that, and I have the dog, and the dog is now mine. And the police, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it didn't take a law degree to figure that out, right? And the police said, no, that's not the way it works. You are going to be charged criminally with stealing a dog because the dog didn't belong to you. She said, no, you don't understand. Because he was not taking proper care of the dog, and I am taking proper care of the dog now belongs to me. And that case is going on in court right now in Grand Rapids, Michigan. You know what she's going to find out? She's going to jail. She's going to go to jail. Why? Because she took something that doesn't belong to her. And it is criminal. It is criminal to misjudge, misappropriate, misalign the Holy Spirit of God. It is just wrong to do that. And when you do that, people that know anything about God and God the Father, God the Son, the God the Holy Spirit are going to look like you just like that. And they're going to look at you like, what? What are you doing? What are you saying? That just doesn't make any sense. It's not biblical. Who's helping you understand that? The Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit does that. The Holy Spirit is the third part of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God. Let's look at some of the attributes of the Holy Spirit. We know that, and a month ago, when I compared God, the attributes of God, to Jesus Christ, they line up. So let's see if the Holy Spirit lines up. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Look at verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. God puts them together. Why would you separate them? God puts them together. We're familiar with that. But are you familiar with the fact that the Holy Spirit is all-powerful? Go to Genesis chapter 1. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And who's moved? The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Right from the very beginning of the biblical text, you have the Spirit is moving in power upon the face of the water. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 1, verse 35. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Great power. Great power. Great power in creation. Creation not just of the world, but in creation of Christ himself. Also, he empowers in believers. Go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Let's go there. It's a powerful passage of Jesus Christ is going to ascend to heaven, and he's talking to his disciples, and he says unto them in the first chapter of Acts, the 8th verse, but ye shall receive power. Who from? After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. I do not have enough power to spare to give to each one of you. I mean, I get tired just thinking about making it through the day. If you said to me, Pastor, you've got to give every one of us a little bit of your power, man, I'm out of gas. I'm done. I jokingly say to young people when they come in with their new little baby, and they look like they haven't slept since the baby was born 3 months ago, and I say to them, that is why God gave children to young people and not to old people, because we would die. We would be dead. Young people can go without sleep for 3 weeks. Old people, we can't do that. I need my sleep. I need my sleep. The Holy Spirit has great power. I do not have great power. I am not the Holy Spirit. I am not God. I didn't give my life for you. I'm not Jesus Christ. The preachers are not that. But the Holy Spirit is. He matches up with his power, with God. In creation, in the creation of the Christ child, in that supernatural birth, shouldn't say creation. That was a bad word slip. But in his power to individuals, in powers to every Christian, he is not bankrupt, he's not out of gas, he's not running short. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Wow. According to the riches of his glory, not mine. People come here and say, Pastor, I need money. I don't have money. Do I look like a guy whose wife would trust him with money? And everybody says no. Everybody says no. And you're absolutely right. I do not have unlimited resources. I don't have unlimited riches. But God does. The Holy Spirit does. Lines up. Strengthened with might by his Spirit. Going back to John chapter 15. Gospel of John chapter 15. Let's look there again. John chapter 15, verse 26. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Spirit, from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. How can he do that? Because he intimately knows the Father. Can you see the omniscience there in that verse? Pastor, do you know everything? I do not. I do not. But the Holy Spirit does. He is omniscient. I am not God. I don't match up. But the Holy Spirit does. In his power, in his knowledge. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit does what? Searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man? Save the spirit of man, which is in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. You see the omniscience there. I don't have it. He does. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You think about his omniscience, his omnipotence. How about his omnipresence? A familiar passage of Scripture in the Psalms, Psalm 137, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I go to hell, you're there. If I go here, you're there. If I go to mountains, you're there. He's everywhere. I am not everywhere. Neither are you. You are not God. Some people pretend like they are. Some preachers pretend like they are. But we are not. And you are not. You cannot be everywhere. But the Holy Spirit is. And he can. How can he be in me and in you? And people ask me that question. And it doesn't make any sense. You don't know the Spirit. You've never received. I know I'm talking to an unsaved person. Because they just don't understand that of God. They have his omnipotence, his omnipresence, his omniscience, and he lines up. God the Father, God the Son. If I had a third hand, I'd put it right up there because all of those attributes line right back. You look at one, and you're looking at, you say, man, he looks an awful lot like God. He looks an awful lot like the Holy Spirit. He looks an awful lot like Jesus Christ because they match up perfectly. Perfectly. Now, there are people that try to claim to have things that they don't have. Let's just say that. Or try to take something that does not belong to them. Maybe that's a better way to put it. Ill-gotten gains. Have you been following what's been going on in England? England's been having some problems lately. They had a toilet stolen out of one of the palaces. Yep. The toilet was valued at a cool $3.5 million. It was not made of porcelain. It was made of gold. And somehow, the perpetrators gained access to this palace where Winston Churchill was born. They got into the palace. Somehow, they snuck out of the palace with a commode. I don't know how they did it. They have arrested the perpetrators. They have arrested the perpetrators. They have not found the gold. They assume that it has been cut up, melted down, and sold on the market. They have not retained it. What is it? It is ill-gotten gains. It wasn't theirs. It didn't belong to them. They took something that did not belong to them. If you're not saved and you're trying to write about the Holy Spirit, you're trying to pretend like the Holy Spirit is in you, it's ill-gotten gains. The Holy Spirit is not in you. You don't belong to Him. You are not one of His. He does not dwell in you. He just does not. Reminds me of the book of Acts. Apostles are doing great works of the power of the Holy Spirit. And a man comes up and he says, "Can I buy that?" How did that go over for him? It did not go over well. Why? Ill-gotten gains, they never go over well. And it doesn't matter whether it's in London or Springfield or Lighthouse Baptist Church. If you're trying to teach a Sunday school class, you've never received the gift of God of your eternal life, the Holy Spirit has not come inside of you to dwell, and you are trying to do the work of God in your own flesh and in your own spirit, and it just does not work. It does not. And it never will. Not only is the third part of the Trinity, not only is He match up, the attributes match up purposely with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but there are many, in the day and age in which we live, there are a plethora of misrepresentations of the Holy Spirit. Go with me to John chapter 3, Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 3. Here's a religious guy, Nicodemus, and he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand it. Why? Because he's never received the gift. He's got the gift of God, Jesus Christ, standing in front of him, but he's just not prepared to say, "I'm a sinner, I need a Savior." And so here's a religious guy. He would be the PhD of his day when it comes to Bible stuff, but he has not embraced His sinfulness. Jesus answered, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus doesn't understand. Why? A natural man understandeth not the things of God, they are foolishness to him. Here's a guy who is steeped in Judaism, but it is what Christ is talking about, these spiritual things, they are foolishness to him. Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? What in the world are you talking about? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" He's clueless. Why? Because he's not saved. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man, you sir, Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." He cannot. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you to live. And that is referred to in Scripture. We'll not go to those Scriptures this evening for time's sake. It's called a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is not speaking in tongues. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is when you trust Christ as your Savior, you get all of the Holy Spirit. And He comes inside of you to live. The problem is not that you didn't get all of the Holy Spirit. The problem is that the majority of the time in our Christian life, the Holy Spirit does not get all of us. Here's some popular manifestations of foolishness in the day and age in which we live. People say we need to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's false. I'm going to get a buzzer up here. Wrong answer. You will not proceed to the next level of jeopardy. It's wrong. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells the believer at salvation. Here's another false idea in the day and age in which we live. Speaking in tongues is evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. False. It's unscriptural. It is absolutely not rooted in Scripture. It is not. Listen, for those of you that have taken my class, I'd be just happy if you wrote in English. In full sentences. With a subject and a verb. And forget the other. Thank you. And I get an amen from the teaching staff back there. But speaking in another tongue, in another language that you've not learned, is not an evidence that the Holy Spirit has come inside to live. Don't pray for a manifestation, but there are people that do that. Here's another false idea of the day and age in which we live. I can get saved, and then I can live any way I want. Wrong answer. And we read the text in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, because when you do that, you absolutely grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You do. One sealing, one baptism, one indwelling comes at the moment of salvation. The problem is that we ought to be living a Spirit-controlled life. Are you living a Spirit-controlled life? Do you get up tomorrow morning and do you say, God, help me today to live the Christian life. Help me to understand your word. Father, in a few moments, I'm going to have to talk to my husband or to my wife. Help me. I need your help. John chapter 15. Without me, ye can do nothing. And here's the problem. We try to live the Christian life in our own power. We try to live the Christian life in our flesh. You can't do it. When I got married to the last perfect gal that ever walked the face of the earth, Miss Bishop. So I've got it easy. She does not have it so easy because she's got to live with me, right? She needs God's help to put up with me because I am not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. Did the girls talk to you today? So the girls are they're at our house this afternoon doing cooking sent out to the college kids. And so when there are a bunch of women in the house, that is the last place I want to be. So I went to Washington, D.C. to a nursing home visitation today. But the girls were all sitting back here waiting for Mrs. Bishop to go. And I stood in front of them. I said, hey, when you go to the house today, say, this house is really clean. And I understand Pastor did all the cleaning, did all of this himself. She really needs God's grace to put up with me on a daily basis. And the girls haven't reported to me what your response was, but I'm sure they will before the night is over. But you try to have a marriage in the flesh, it's not going to work well. You're going to try to raise your children, discipline them in the flesh, is not going to be received well by them. It's not going to be given well by you. No, you don't have this problem in Pennsylvania. We have this problem in Washington, D.C. area. It is called traffic. And if I'm going to lose my Christianity, it is going to be on the Beltway. With the Maryland drivers that are cutting me off and going down the shoulders to cut in so I can't get across the bridge. And I need God's help in my driving. So when I get in the car today, before I go into Washington, D.C., before I get on the road, I said, Lord, I need your help because I cannot possibly get in and out of the city in the flesh. without giving 17 tickets. And I've got some helpers. Caitlin's hooked me up with some computer helpers that say, there's a speed camera. And I was on one stretch of DC road today that every 100 feet there was a speed camera. And I thought, no way. But yeah, there were. Over and over and over again. I made the visit on Mr. McRae, and I said, Mr. McRae, it is a miracle that all these years I've been coming in to see you, I have not gotten a speeding ticket, a seatbelt ticket, a stop sign ticket. Yes, they have stop sign cameras in Washington, D.C. Or a speeding ticket. I haven't gotten not a single one. And this is what he said to me. You'll probably get one on the way home. What do I need? I need God's help in my marriage. I need God's help in raising my children. I need God's help in my Bible study. I absolutely am helpless in my driving without God's help. But we think we can do it ourselves without God's help. Listen, that is not going to end well. It's going to end in family problems. It's going to end in marriage problems. It's going to end in kids' problems. It's going to end in Bible study error. Because we're trying to live the Christian life without walking in the Spirit. Again, how is that accomplished? Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Here we're trying to do. We're trying to walk in the Spirit and in the flesh at the same time. It's criminal. Criminal. France, two homeless men stole a backpack out of somebody's car. The owner came out to his car, realized the backpack was gone, and he immediately got on the phone and said, cancel my credit cards. And the credit card company said, we can cancel every card, but one was used today. And the owner said, where was it used? He called the police, and they went there. It was used at a convenience mart. The person that stole his credit card, the two homeless guys that stole his credit card, went into the convenience mart, and they bought a lottery ticket, and it was a winner for $500,000. Now they're all over the news. Two homeless guys, they've stolen a tech, they've used a credit card, stolen credit card to buy this lottery ticket. The owner now knows, the victim, that these guys used his credit card to buy a ticket. So he's on the news saying, come forward, I'll not prosecute you, we'll split the winnings. The police department is saying, oh, no, 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 no. This is the proceeds of ill-gotten gains. We will take it all. And the homeless guys are saying, just our luck. Just our luck. To steal a credit card, buy a ticket, be a winning ticket, and we can't cash it in because if we do, we're going to go to jail. So what? Nobody benefits. Nobody benefits when you walk in the flesh. You don't benefit. Your wife doesn't benefit. Your children don't benefit. But if you've never come to Christ, you'll never understand walking in the Spirit. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I say again, because you're here tonight and you know it, and I know it, that you're not saved. You've never trusted Christ. Holy Spirit does not indwell you. And everything in your life is a mess because you don't have God's help. You can have God's help tonight. You have the Holy Spirit come inside of you and help you to understand God's word,